Baptist, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
It's about eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh now for this opportunity to hear your word. Meet us in the text, tailor the truth that we're teaching, that every hearer's heart might hear what you're saying to us today. Then let the Holy Ghost impress upon us to practice these principles and profit from them, that we may know, God, that you desire us to have your best as we are made in your image and in your likeness. We thank you in advance for what you shall do because of our faith and obedience. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Jeremiah.
All right, man.
And I just want to use this as a launching scripture. And we're going to take a walk through the word of the Lord because we want to talk about a love like this.
All right.
Is divine. Love like this is divine. Jeremiah chapter 31. I want us to commence reading at verse 3. And it says, the Lord had appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. Amen. When we look at this word, sometime in our lives, we struggle with our worth as a person. Sometimes of disparity in life, difficulties in life. Sometimes we find ourselves nursing our wounds from being hurt, shunned, put down. And every now and then we need to do a reality check as to just who we really are as relates to the love of God. When you begin to recognize how deeply God loves you, when you begin to realize how much God put into His love for you, when you begin to realize that the love of God is the purest and most profoundest love you will ever experience in this life, it does us well to just look at a few scriptures to see that the love that God has for you is the best love you'll ever experience in life. It's the kind of love that no matter who loves you could never ever compare, and at best, they could only copy. I want you to see this word because, number one, I want you to realize God has always loved you from all eternity. God has always loved you from all eternity. You know, sometimes we, in this life as humans, we are, of course, made of dust and divinity. And we many times experience more of the dust love rather than the divine love. And because of the dust love, we many times get the picture out of focus and the true pureness of love twisted. And so sometimes if we would ever learn, many of us, what true love is all about, we would not be confused with the counterfeit love. If we ever found out how God loves us and what it is that God gives to us and expects from us in this love, then we would know love in the dust sense, in the earthly sense, in the human sense, when it truly came. That's how, if you've ever looked at it, I mean, if you ask somebody today, have you ever been in love? They'd say yes. Have you been in love more than once? They say yes. They've been in love more than a few times, they say yes. Well, how can you be in love all them many times? And the truth is, they really never knew what real love was all about. And so they got it twisted. And then so to put a help on the hurt, they say, well, I loved them, but I wasn't in love. Okay. Well, when we look at the Word of God and look at how God loves us and He gives us a pattern and He gives us an understanding of how deep His love is, how pure His love is, we who then know God's love will know how to experience the love that was meant to be in the earth realm. So first of all, God has loved you from all eternity. Tell somebody, God has loved me from all eternity. It just didn't start yesterday. Amen. I love that because when we look at what Jeremiah is saying here and look at it again, he says, this love, he's learned this from old time. He says, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. An everlasting love literally means that you don't have to worry about my love flickering out on you.
All right.
An everlasting love means that I love you on your good days and I love you on your bad days. An everlasting love means I love you when you're right and I love you when you're wrong. I love you when you're up and I love you when you're down. I love you when you got it together and I love you when you ain't got it together. An everlasting love means, listen, I might not like what you do, but I always love you. And I'm going to keep working on you till we get this thing together. Listen, Isaiah picked it up one time when they messed up on understanding the power of God's love. He said, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them whiter than snow. A penman wrote in the lyrics of a song that is a worldly song, said it this way, let's straighten it out. Tell me what's on your mind. See, when you know that you love somebody with an everlasting love, you might have issues, but the love will last beyond the issues. We might have to deal with some stuff, and we might have to have a come to Jesus meeting. But when the meeting is over, we know we're still going to, I wish I had somebody, be together. And so Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, makes it clear that that love that they have, that love that they share, is an everlasting love. And all through the Word of God, it proves it, that His love goes beyond those things that we say and those things that we do, because they are one, three in one. Again, the greatest supreme examples of love. And so what I want you to see here is what's again important is when this love that God has for us is everlasting, then he says it is a byproduct. What happens later or afterwards is a byproduct of the fact that God has said, I love you with an everlasting love. So therefore, my drawing you closer to me is coming out of a love that's filled with loving kindness. In other words, you know, even though a person may not be capable or able or prepared to receive the fullness of your love, here's what everlasting love does. It just reels them in slow enough until they're able to open up and embrace more. In other words, the love of God, it constrains us. But in the constraining of us, it's literally designed to bring us closer as much as we can handle. You've got to understand, God knows you better than you know yourself.
All right.
And that's why we're quicker when we mess up to give up on God than God is to give up on us.
All right.
Because everything God allows to happen in your life, everything God allows you to go through, is God's desire to tweak you and to test you and to cause you to become all that he wants you to be. And with everything, listen at this, God has at his disposal the point and the purpose of it is to draw you closer. So that's why sometimes he draws you closer with good things.
All right.
He blesses you, and many times you come to him and you praise him and you glorify him and you worship him and you thank him for all of the wonderful things. But then sometimes he realizes that that's not doing the job. So sometimes he loves you enough to let you think that your way is better than his way.
Right.
And he gives you a little slack and let you have your own way, only to find out that your own way was not the best way for you. And so sometimes he allows you to get hurt by your own actions, by your own deeds. But the whole purpose of that is to draw you back closer to him, so that you'll know when he said what he said in the beginning and his way was the best way and the right way, and you thought your way was the best way and the right way, he let you have your way just to show you he knew what he was talking about. Good parents love their children like that when they train them in the way that they ought to go. Now listen, they love them enough to discipline them at the right time and period in their lives, to train them, to give them understanding, to prepare them for life. But here's what they've got to do that is the hardest part. All those other things were good, but here is the true acid test. They let them go to try now all the stuff they've taught them. Because it doesn't make sense for you to train and prepare somebody and then don't let them do what you trained and prepared them to do. That means sometimes they're going to fall. Sometimes they're going to hurt themselves. Sometimes they're going to come into a place where when they didn't believe you when they were at home, after they leave home, they realize you were right. And that training came from home, and it draws them back to you. And how many parents have had, I don't need you to raise your hand, I just want you to smile in your heart. Your child to come back and say, Mama, you were right. Daddy, you were right. I thought I knew. You said, oh, this is the one. And Mama said, no, baby, that ain't the one. Oh, no, Mama, I know. Well, how you know? I just know it. All right. And then before it was all over, they had to pick you up, dust you off, and remind you, not having to say it, that they loved you enough to let you see your way wasn't the best way. And that's what God does. Thanks be to God for loving us in spite of us. And even in loving us, it means sometime he has to let us fall. He has to let us try it our way, because we're not going to be convinced that his way is the best way sometime until we see it for ourselves. Just like the prodigal father, not the son. Because prodigal means in that he gave extravagantly. And this father gave extravagantly to that younger boy, and he went out and spent all of his living in riotous living and did all of the things that he was taught against doing. That's the reason he went into a far country where nobody knew him, where he could let his hair hang low, where he can say what he want to say, do what he want to do, act like he wanted to do, and nobody said, I'm going to tell your daddy on you. But when the Bible says he spent all he had, and he had to eat the food that hogs ate, because no man gave to him, it was when he fell to his lowest ebb that he said, how many servants do my father have with food and enough to spare? I'll go back home and tell my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And he said this over and over again, from the pig's pen back to the palace. But when his father saw him, he ran to him, fell on his neck, kissed him, told the servants to bring the robe, the ring, the shoes, kill the fatted calf, start the party. My son who was lost is found, who was dead is now alive. And all of this was because of the extravagant love the father had for the son. God loves us with that kind of love. How many of you can honestly say you've done some things you know were against the word, the will, and the way of God? You've walked off the path. You've done it your own way. You've lived like you wanted to live. And when you got yourself together, you came back and God received you with open arms. Are there any witnesses in the building? God's called some of you so long ago, you try to deny the calling, you try to act like it wasn't God, and yet every now and then he keeps reminding you, it's me still calling you. He's got stuff for you to do, but you want to live it your way. So he's giving you the opportunity to see that your way is not the best way. But how many times has he proven to you that his love is so true and pure that in spite of your mess ups, in spite of your mistakes, he's right there with arms wide open. But I want you to see something else, because not only has God loved us always and from eternity, but God has always planned to choose us for himself. I said God has always planned to choose us for himself. You need to know you're not an afterthought. All right. You're not second best. You're not a rebound. You are preferential. You are the one God chose and desired to have as his own. All you got to do is look at the word of God and look at Ephesians 1 and 4, and you'll see he says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. In other words, you need to realize that from the beginning of time, when God was creating everything and before it was all fully manifested, he created you in the spirit realm and loved you from the beginning. From the beginning. Even before you became the mess that you had become. Even before you made all of the mistakes, and even after the mistakes were made. Even before you deliberately chose to walk opposite of his word, will, and his way. He loves you knowing all of this. How many of us love folk because we think they're perfect? Then when we find out there are imperfections, then our love that was hot grows cold. We start second guessing and we start turning our affections away because they were not perfect. Well, that's kind of interesting. For you to want to love someone because you think they're perfect and you are not perfect. By virtue of the fact that someone who was perfect allowed you to love them and they love you back would have made them imperfect by your union with them.
All right.
Some of you missed that. In other words, if you had a perfect person, you would mar that perfection just by them hooking up with you. Because you are marred and you are scarred. And if you're with someone that's perfect in the natural sense, then that is a part of you will then mar and scar them. How many times a person who has not brought baggage to a relationship have endured so many things that they didn't have to endure if you wouldn't have come to the relationship with all that baggage? And see, you've heard the saying that you don't really never know nobody till you live with them. Because they send their representative out to meet you. Yeah, but it's when they got you that they unpack the real person. I wish I had a helper in the house. Is when they start unloading all that stuff and you like, good Jesus? What? Never let you see them not like they ought to be in the representative form. And then when you do see the real them, then you're wondering, who is it that you married? You always on your best behavior. You just do it all right until you know the deal is sealed. When, as Stevie said, you're signed, sealed, and delivered, then the real person comes out. And then, listen to this. You wonder what is going. No, what really. Going, but what I love about the Lord is He chose me. He chose you, knowing everything good, bad, ugly, and indifferent about. He always planned to make you His very own. That's real love, people. That's real love. Because see, truth of the matter is that you can't really love unless you are yourself. And unless you are your true and real self, nobody really knows you are the real love that you can give. And so while that is not perfect, the God we serve loved us with His perfect love in spite of our imperfect love. But that's something else I want you to see. God thought enough of you to spill His own Son's blood to rescue you. He thought enough of you to spill Jesus' blood. His only begotten Son. I want you to know you are somebody. He loves you with a love so rich that He gave His Son to redeem you, to buy you back. He had a perfect Son. One who knew no sin, did no sin, thought no sin, acted not upon sin, right there with Him, and He gave Him up so He could buy you and you and you and me and whosoever will back to Him, because He loves us that much. He's not fickle and finicky. He don't love us on good days and not love us on bad days. And He loves us continually. He loves us knowing everything there is to know about that. This kind of love is divine love. It's the only kind of love that could get us from earth to glory. And listen at this. It was given to us. John 3:16 made it so clear. For God so loved. Listen. When you realize that he didn't just love us, he so loved us. So loved us that he gave his only begotten son. That is some kind of love. It cost him his best to bring us who was less. That's love. See, that's why I love the Lord, because he don't care what folks say about me. Oh, he hear y'all talking. Yeah. He hears what you're saying. He knows what's going on. But here's what I love about him. Ain't nothing you can tell him about John Montgomery he don't already know. And then he says, I love that boy. Well, let me help you two, because he feels the same way, hallelujah, about you. What a wonderful love. When even they're right and you are wrong, he still loves us with an everlasting. That's why we ain't got to be pretending and faking, phony, and perpetrating. That's why we don't have to act up and act out. We can be just as real with him and come to him and tell him how we truly feel, because he knows it anyhow. I mean, do you know how refreshing it is to love so much so that you give your best and know, listen, that God, as he loves us with that kind of love, won't allow us to ever forget what he has given to get us in a position of love. You got to know you aren't an afterthought. All right. You are a select thought. You are prime, premier. You are all that God wants. And listen, not that you were when he chose you, but when he chose you as you were, he saw you as you were going to be. All right? Because his love was going to transform you. See, when we love, we usually get people at their best, and then it goes down to their worst. He loves us at our worst and brings us up to our best. Lord, y'all not hearing me here today. That's why we can come to him just as we are. He sees you as clear and as naked as you see yourself in a mirror. And he sees you even deeper, clearer, closer than that, because he sees underneath the skin. He knows every fiber of your being. He knows every thought that you think. And in spite of that, he loves. Man, wouldn't it be something if God revealed some of the thoughts we had sitting right in church? You know, on those little cartoons, how the little bubble comes up and all the words in the bubble come up? And you'd be surprised at some of the thoughts that the people sitting next to you. Folks see you walk around it off and you don't know the thoughts of that. Man, wouldn't it be something if God just revealed some of those thoughts?
No.
But he loves us too much.
All right.
To do that. You begin to realize how his word is clear and how God knows us better than we know ourselves. I want you to see something else. When we see that 1 Peter 1:18-19 says, you were redeemed from the empty way of life. This is another translation that makes it a little clearer. With the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or spot. He took something perfect, blameless, spotless, for something that was dirty, unworthy, and scarred. That doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Well, can I tell you this?